As we are here together to worship the Lord, first of all, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And he greets you with these words: grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, who's to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and ruler of kings of the earth. Amen. This morning we will sing a few songs of ascent, and so also this first song in response to God's greeting is a song of ascent, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. Now we'll listen to the holy law of our faithful covenant God to test our heart and life to this law as to the rule of thankfulness. Thereafter we'll sing from Psalm 123, verse 1. God spoke all these words, as in Christ saying them to us today as well: I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the seventh day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not be a false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. The Lord Jesus Christ summarized this as follows: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. I lead you in prayer. Heavenly God and Father, in humbleness we draw near to thee who art enthroned in the heavens, the Almighty One, Creator of heaven and earth, our Holy God. Lord, when we think of thy majesty, thy glory, we can only humble ourselves this morning, knowing that we cannot stand in the presence of thy holiness. We cannot stand in the presence of thy holiness when we look at ourselves. The only way in which we can still draw near to thee this morning is when thou wilt grant us grace, as we just prayed for it in our singing. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast granted that grace in Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Redeemer, who gave his life unto death, even death on the cross, so that we could live. Live in communion with thee again. And thinking about this, Heavenly Father, we can only marvel at thy love, thy amazing grace towards us, unworthy sinners, and yet cleansed in the blood of Christ, and who has also given us the renewal of life, by which we still can serve thee according to thy will, by the power of thy Spirit within us. We can still serve thee, be it with its many weaknesses and shortcomings, Lord. And so we thank thee for thy faithfulness in granting us all these wonderful blessings. Lord, we pray thee, when thy word is open to us this morning, and also when celebrating Holy Supper and reflecting on all these blessings, grant that thankfulness may fill our hearts, and that as fruit we may go home with a renewed desire to serve thee from the heart in all that we do and wherever we are, so that our lives may become more and more true sacrifices of thankfulness, in which we live wholly before thee, in true love towards thee, but also in true love towards one another. And so, Father, we pray thee, bless us when we worship thee this morning. We humbly pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You now receive opportunity to give to the Lord your gifts of thankfulness. And thereafter, we'll sing all the three verses of Psalm 122. Let's turn to another song of ascent, Psalm 125. This will be also the focus of this morning's sermon, in particular the first two verses, but we also focus on the whole psalm. So let us read Psalm 125. The song of ascent. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. So far the scripture reading and also the text is, I said the first two verses in particular, we will focus on this morning. In the sermon and also in prayer this morning, we will also think of the Evarts family. You all may have been heard it by the news that Kellen Evarts, son of Jim and Nellie Evarts, was killed in a scooter accident last week. And so that will also be included in the sermon and in our prayer today. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we started the worship service with singing Psalm 121. A psalm very well loved, for it speaks in such a beautiful way about God's protection. Let me just quote once more that second verse which we did sing, "He will not let you slip or fall, for he is at your side. Support he will provide. The keeper of all Israel will guide and guard you ever. He sleeps or slumbers never." The keeper Israel, who never slumbers nor sleeps, he's always there to keep watch over his children wherever we are. He keeps watch. Also when accidents happen. Even though we cannot understand how this works together with God's protection. We cannot understand that last week Kellen Evarts was taken out of his life by a scooter accident. Why, O Lord? So young. And taken in such a terrible way. We struggle to find comfort. Now as to the why, brothers and sisters, we may leave that to the Lord, who has numbered the days of our life for each of us. He numbered also Kellen's day, according to his plan. In this, we may find rest, peace. It's the peace which God gives, a peace of which the world doesn't know, but which God gives, even in the face of death. And that's the same peace we also find in Psalm 125. Peace when we lay our weak lives in God's almighty hands, simply saying to God, we struggle with the brokenness of this present life. Lord, I don't know. It's so difficult, so dark at times. And yet I want to cling to thee. Lord, grant peace, inward peace, so that I may find rest. Rest amid all the grief, the hurt, the pain we are confronted with at times. That is this peace, this security, on which we'll focus this morning when dealing with Psalm 125. I've summarized the first two verses of this psalm as follows. Only trust in God gives true security in life. Why? Since this trust is anchored in the firmness of God's promises. Only trusting God gives true security in life, for this trust is anchored in God's sure promises. Psalm 125, brothers and sisters, is a psalm full of hope, full of encouragement. Think of verse 1, where it reads, Psalm 125, verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. And then verse 2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. A pilgrim, after a long journey, having come close to Jerusalem, saw a city surrounded by mountains, sometimes even higher than Mount Zion. A picture full of encouragement, since this pilgrim knew that's how the Lord surrounds his people to give them protection by day and by night. I've never been to Jerusalem, but I was once in a motel in South Australia, amidst of the mountains, and that motel was surrounded by mountains. And I said to my wife and the friends, well, this is what Psalm 125 is all about. That's how we are surrounded by mountains, by the promises of the Lord. So that's what we may cling to. Lord, we cling, as in troublesome times, for we know thou wilt give protection when we trust in thee. Troublesome times, as in those days. Why? Verse 3 makes that clear. The scepter of wickedness was resting on the land allotted to the righteous. Now, with respect to the scepter of wickedness, we could refer to a foreign force in those days occupying Canaan. But it could equally refer to a rule of one of Israel's own godless kings. And the latter is even more likely when you think in verse 3b, where it reads that even the righteous is in danger of reaching out his hands to iniquity. Anyway, whatever the reference is, the author of this psalm is deeply troubled by it. The church had become occupied territory because of a wicked force ruling the country. Now, for a moment, I'd like to draw the line through to today. For also today, beloveds, we as God's children live in occupied territory. From Scripture, you know, this earth belongs to us. It's the inheritance God has promised to the believers. Think of Christ's Sermon on the Mount. In particular, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Note well, Christ doesn't say there, blessed are the meek, for they go to heaven. Nay, instead, he says, they will receive this earth as an inheritance. And it shows that ultimately this earth is ours. Ours in Christ. But what do we see of this? After the fall into sin, this earth has fallen in the hands of God's enemies. And so we see the scepter of wickedness resting upon the land allotted to the righteous. This upright child of God does not shudder today when seeing all the wickedness going on in this world, at times influencing also life within the church. Let us not hide this. Hence, we too live in troublesome times. Yet, beloved, when at times all this becomes too much for you, in Psalm 125, we have a psalm which will give us hope and encouragement. For in verse 3, we read that this will not be a lasting situation. The scepter of wickedness, we read there, will not continue to rest upon the land allotted to the wicked. Psalm 125, a song of ascent. A pilgrim song for those who are on their way to Jerusalem. Well, brothers and sisters, we too are on our way to the new Jerusalem. And that's to the day when the scepter of wickedness will be completely broken. There is no doubt that this will happen. We can be completely sure of this. Why? Because D-Day has already passed. D-Day. Those who know their history well know that in history we connect D-Day with the 6th of June 1944, when the Allied forces landed in Normandy. And there became a turning point in the Second World War. Germany and Hitler knew from that day onwards we are on the losing end. But likewise today, beloved, since Calvary, D-Day, Satan knows that he's on the losing end and that time is running out for him. And that's why he's so furious at present, so fierce in his attacks, especially on the church. D-Day. Christ has won the battle. From Calvary onwards, Satan is fighting from a lost position. No, it is not yet V-Day, the day of the complete victory. And between D-Day and V-Day, still terrible things can happen. Think of World War II. Those who lived in the western part of the Netherlands, north of the Rhine River, still went through a severe winter of famine. Many people of the resistance movement were still killed during that last period of the war. It was a time of great danger, also a time full of temptation to give up. But beloved, from a spiritual point of view, today we live in the same situation. The author of Psalm 125 sees it before his eyes. The scepter of wickedness resting upon the land allotted to the righteous, like we see today. We too, as I said, live in troublesome times. And so at times we may wonder, how will it go with us? How will it go with our children? With our grandchildren in this immoral country where the attacks of Satan are on the increase? What will happen? What will happen when in May, when we have elections, the Lord willing, Labour will come in government? What will that mean for the freedom of speech? What will that mean for the freedom of our schools? We can end up in a similar way as in Canada, in Alberta. I read an article last week about persecution. Let us be ready. It can sincerely happen here as well. And maybe sooner or later. Maybe it doesn't even take all that long. That the day will come that when I say here on this pulpit, homosexuality is wrong, then I will go to prison. In a similar way as in the Second World War, ministers who preached against the Nazis, against Nazism, went to prison. That might not be that far away. The scepter of wickedness rests upon the land allotted to the righteous. How will it go with the church here in Rockingham? At times the devil seems to be so strong, to the extent that even the righteous are in danger, it says here, of reaching out their hands to iniquity. Life in this world is tempting. Is it really necessary to draw the lines so strictly? World conformity is creeping in. One cannot deny it. Does it really show up that we are different in the way we dress, in the language we use, in the way we spend our time at work and at leisure? Or are we already compromising, reaching out our hands to the things our sinful flesh likes as well? Troublesome times for the church. How to cope with all this? How to live in the joy of faith and at the same time worries about church life, worries about our children are eating us away? The recipe of Psalm 125 is trust in the Lord. Trust in the firmness of his promises. For a start, that means we may go through troublesome times, but it will not last. For the scepter of wickedness shall not continue to rest upon the land allotted to the righteous. In addition, the Lord will protect the righteous, lest they reach out their hands to iniquity. In other words, we and our children are in God's hands. From ourselves, we are so weak that we cannot stand even for a moment. An easy prey for the wicked one. But when you trust in God, we may lay our weak lives in His almighty hands, and then we are safe. Safe in God's almighty fatherly hands. Spiritually safe, even when death takes us away out of this life. Safe because of God's promises given to us. As we'll talk about it all this, when I will preach about it also this afternoon, when we focus on baptism this afternoon. Safe because of God's promises given to us. Promises that reach beyond the grave. How otherwise could we cope when loved ones die? And that's what I mentioned also earlier on. Even when struggling with the vice of life at times, when clinging in faith to God, we will find peace, rest, security. Trust in God. Trust in His promises. That means looking on high, expecting everything from Him. But it also means listening to the Lord, wanting to live for Him alone. For Him who in Christ has given our lives such a great perspective. Think of the cross. Where Christ died so that we may live. A rich promise. But it also asks sincerity. Sincerity in faith by not reaching out our hand to the iniquity, but living for the Lord alone. Sincerity in trusting and obeying God. Only then we will stand firm, like Mount Zion, it says in Psalm 25. Mount Zion, that was the mount on which the temple was built. Now, in Scripture, Mount Zion is symbolic of God's presence in the midst of Israel. Symbolic of God's faithfulness towards the covenant He had established with His people. Well, as firm as Mount Zion, symbolic of God's faithfulness, so firm we may stand when we put our trust in the Lord. As Mount Zion cannot be moved, so we cannot be moved. As Mount Zion cannot be moved, so we cannot be moved. It's quite some thing, brothers and sisters. It sounds almost as boasting. Living in a world where the attacks of Satan are manifold, considering how weak we are from ourselves, is that not said too easily? We will not be moved. That would be the case if we look for strength in ourselves. But we may cling to the faithfulness of God's promises, formulated in verse 2 as follows: as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. The mountains around Jerusalem were an important defense of the city. And so it became a picture of God's protective presence. So why can those who put their trust in the Lord not be moved? The answer is because the Lord, who surrounds us on all sides, protects us as the mountains surrounded Jerusalem. That's how the Lord will be there for us, always. When putting all our trust in Him alone, we will stand firm. Then Satan with all his allies may attack us, but then by strength from above, we will be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Beloved, when you continue to seek your strength in the Lord, putting all your trust in Him, Satan will have no chance. Then the Lord will protect you. Also when you struggle with questions at times like, why this, O Lord? Why this and why that? Also then the Lord is near to guide and help you. In this way you may find true peace, true rest. No, that doesn't always happen overnight. But then even throughout sleepless nights, the Lord is there. Let us hold on to this. And so by grace from above, stand firm. Firm in faith, which is God's gift to help us. Also faith is not of ourselves. It's God's gift to help us. That's the comfort. When daily we walk with God. And also in the night, remember, God is there. Amen. Let's sing from Psalm 125, the verses 1 and 2. on behalf of the Consistory, I have the following announcements. I mentioned already the passing away of Kellen Efforts. Funeral arrangements are as follows. Thursday, the 25th of October at Pinero Valley Chapel and Crematorium, corner of Whiteford and Gibson Avenue, Petbury. The burial service will commence at the gravesite at 11:15 and a service in the chapel at noon. Consistory will meet Monday, the Lord willing, 7:30 p.m. The stage has been requested by the A. Vendershaar family to the Free Reformed Church of Basselton. The stage has been requested by the A. van Delden family to the Blessing Christian Church, a member of the Federation of Canadian Reformed Churches in Hamilton, Ontario. Consistory has nominated the following brothers to the office of elder: Brother A. Baal, Brother Q. Klein, Brother B. Wielstra, and Brother A. Woenings. And the following brothers to the office of deacon: Brother Ray Huizinga and Brother Jack Rijksema. Election will take place, the Lord willing, on Sunday, the 4th of November, after the morning service. Classes Central will convene, the Lord willing, on the 26th of October in Amrail, starting at 9:30 a.m. And one home's visit is scheduled, Sister C. Wielstra, Wednesday at 7:30. Let's unite in prayer. Lord God in heaven, we thank thee for the opening of thy words, for the comfort we could receive from it. And Lord, we need this comfort in the midst of a life that in so many ways is characterized by brokenness. Brokenness because of sin. Sin, as we see it also today, in the scepter of wickedness resting on the land, on the earth. Whilst thou hast allotted this earth to the righteous, allotted to the meek, who shall inherit the earth. Lord, when thinking about this, we pray together with the saints under the altar, how long before thou wilt judge all this wickedness, wickedness in immorality, in people being lovers of self instead of loving thee. Lord, we pray thee, grant that this may soon come to an end, when Christ will return on the clouds of heaven to bring the final harvest home, freed from sorrow, freed from sin. At the same time, Lord, we pray thee that before that day arrives, many may still hear the gospel and turn to thee. And also that those who have walked away from thee may repent and come back, so that together with us they may sit at the marriage feast of the Lamb, that feast of which today we may already receive a foretaste when celebrating Holy Supper. Grant, Lord, that this celebration may help us to stay focused on thee. Focused not only today, but also throughout the week, when we live our lives in the midst of a wicked society that's trying to tempt also us. By thy Spirit, help us to stand firm. Since from ourselves, Lord, we are so weak that we cannot stand even for a moment. And therefore wilt thou give us the strength we need each day again. Lord, be so near to all of us, whatever the circumstances are. For Father, because of sin, we see brokenness also in the church, brokenness also in our own lives. At times, Lord, there can be so much hurt, pain, that it is hard to cope. Lord, we thank thee that this morning we could hear how to find peace, rest, also maybe struggle. Struggle with questions like why this or why that had to happen. Lord, we pray thee for the Efforts family and others who have been affected by this sudden death of Kellen. An accident, Father, what the world calls a freak accident. But we know that also Kellen's days were numbered according to thy perfect plan with his life, even though we may struggle with this. Yet in faith we have this firm confidence. Lord, be near also to others who struggle, be it due to brokenness in family life or due to loved ones being critically ill. Think of those who battle cancer. Lord, grant that in all these circumstances, thou we may have found peace and rest, as thou alone art able to give it. But we thank thee for the blessings of faith, the blessings of being thine. When Jesus Christ, thy Son, has granted us complete forgiveness of all our sins, and also the blessing of eternal life. Eternal life which thou hast granted us already today, when in faith we walk with thee. Lord, we thank thee for that amazing grace by which thou hast brought us safe thus far and also will lead us safely home. Lord, be now near to us. Also the remainder of this worship service when we celebrate Holy Supper, let it all be to the glory of thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we read the form for the supper, the Lord's Supper, this is an announcement for any visitors if they are with us. Our celebration of the Lord's Supper is closely supervised. If you are not a member of this congregation or an announced visitor, while we encourage you to remain with us in the church, we ask that you do not come forward, join in with eating and drinking at the table. This is in no way a judgment on your faith in Christ. Instead, it is because the Lord teaches us in 1 Corinthians 11 that the Lord's Supper is a communal celebration and that as church community, we are responsible to keep the table holy. Further, we care for the body of Christ and the unity in faith that we share as members of this church. We call one another to account. And the celebration of the Lord's Supper is a central part to the way we practice this care and discipline our members. For this reason, we believe it is good and according to the will of God for us to supervise the Lord's table in this way. Let's now read the form for the Lord's Supper. Form for the Lord's Supper, as you find it on page 603 of your Book of Praise. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper has been instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of this institution as described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through to 29. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let the person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." In order that we may now celebrate this Holy Supper of the Lord to our comfort, we must first rightly examine ourselves. Further, we must use it as Christ intended it, namely to his remembrance. True self-examination consists of the following three parts. First, let everyone consider his sins and accursedness, so that he, detesting himself, may humble himself before God. For the wrath of God against sin is so great that he could not leave it unpunished, but has punished it in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, by the bitter and shameful death on the cross. Second, let everyone search his heart whether he also believes the sure promise of God that all his sins are forgiven him, only for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is freely given him as his own, as if he himself had fulfilled all righteousness. Third, let everyone examine his conscience, whether it is his sincere desire to show true thankfulness to God with his entire life, and laying aside all enmity, hatred, and envy, to live with his neighbor in true love and unity. God will certainly receive in grace all who are just-minded and count them worthy to partake of the supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Therefore, according to the command of Christ and of the Apostle Paul, we admonish all those who know themselves to be guilty of the following offensive sins to abstain from the table of the Lord. And we declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ. All who refuse to trust in the Lord alone, or who serve him in their own manner. All who abuse the name of the Lord by cursing or in any other way. All who do not diligently attend the worship services and who despise the proclamation of God's word or the sanctity of the sacraments. All who are disobedient to their parents or to others in authority over them. All who violate human life or cherish hatred against their neighbor and refuse to be reconciled to him. All who either within or outside of holy wedlock do not keep their bodies pure. All who by stealing, greed, or extravagance lead a worldly life. All liars, backbiters, slanderers. Briefly, all who either in word or conduct show themselves to be unbelieving by leading an offensive life. While they persist in their sins, they shall not take of this food, which Christ has ordained only for his believers. Otherwise, their judgment and condemnation will be the heavier. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who have without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith. We do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Let's now consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted his supper. Namely, that we should use it in remembrance of him. We are to remember him in the following manner. First of all, let us fully trust that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world according to the promises made from the beginning to the fathers in the Old Testament. And that he assumed our flesh and blood. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life on earth, he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished eternally. By his perfect obedience, he has for us fulfilled all the righteousness of God's law. We remember in particular that the weight of the wrath of God caused by our sins pressed out of him, sweat like drops of blood falling on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he was bound, that we might be free from our sins. He suffered countless insults, that we might never be put to shame. Though innocent, he was condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He even let his blessed body be nailed to the cross, that he might cancel the bond which stood against us because of our sins. By all this, he's taken our curse upon him, himself, that he might fill us with his blessing. On the cross, he humbled himself in body and soul to the very deepest shame and anguish of hell. And then he called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? That we might be accepted by God and nevermore be forsaken by him. Finally, by his death and the shedding of his blood, he confirmed the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace, when he said, it is finished. In order that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, during his last Passover, instituted Holy Supper. He gave the bread and the cup to his disciples in remembrance of him. He taught us to understand that as often as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we are reminded and assured of his hearty love and faithfulness towards us. It's a sure pledge that he's given his body and shed his blood for us. Otherwise, we would have suffered eternal death. He nourishes and refreshes our hungry and thirsty souls with his crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as certainly as this bread is broken before our eyes and this cup is given to us, and we eat and drink in remembrance of him. from this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross. It's the only ground for our salvation. Thereby he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true food and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has removed the cause of our eternal hungry and misery, which is sin, and obtained for us the life-giving spirit. By this spirit who dwells in Christ as the head and in us as his members, we have true communion with him and share in all his riches, life eternal, righteousness and glory. By the same spirit, we are also united in true brotherly love as members of one body. For the Apostle Paul says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. As one bread is baked out of many grains, and one wine is pressed out of many grapes, so we all, incorporated in Christ by faith, are together one body. For the sake of Christ, who so exceedingly loved us first, we shall not love one another, and shall show this to one another. Not just in words, but also in deeds. Finally, Christ has commanded us to celebrate the Holy Supper until he comes. We receive at his table a foretaste of the abundant joy which he has promised, and look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, where he will drink the wine new with us in the kingdom of his Father. Let us rejoice and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. May the Almighty Heavenly God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this. Through his Holy Spirit. Amen. To receive all this, let us now humble ourselves before God in prayer and call upon him in true faith. Merciful God and Father, we thank thee that in this supper we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, so that we may entrust ourselves more and more to thy Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that our contrite hearts may be nourished with his true body and blood, yes, with him, who is the only heavenly bread, that we may not live in our sins, but Christ in us and we in him. Let so truly be partakers of the new and everlasting testament, the covenant of grace, that we do not doubt that thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing to us our sins, but providing us with all things for body and soul, as thy dear children and heirs. Grant us thy grace, that we may take up our cross joyfully, deny ourselves, and confess our Savior. Let us in all tribulation await our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come from heaven to change our mortal body to be like his glorious body, and take us to himself forever. Hear us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. Let's now profess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. We do that with the words of the Apostles' Creed by singing hymn 1. Brothers and sisters, in order that we may now be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread, we must not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but lift our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ, our advocate, is at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Let's not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as truly as we receive the holy bread and drink in remembrance of him. At Lord's table, we now invite all confessing members of this congregation here in Rockingham, as well as the following visitors who came as an attestation to consistory, and that is Brother and Sister Feldman from the church in Barford. The table will now be prepared, and we will sing from Psalm 132, the verses 8 and 9. The bread, which we break, is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the precious body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. At this table, we will read Psalm 126. Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, you are like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. Then he said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, and the stream as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The psalm calls to mind the return from Babylon. After 70 years of captivity, God's children were beside themselves with joy when finally they heard the wonderful news. We're allowed to go home. It was like a dream. We were overjoyed with joy, praising God. And all this happened also to the surprise of the nations. Never before had any God of the nations brought his people out of exile. It shows what mighty God we have. Mighty that in one day he will bring his people home altogether, when the scepter of wickedness will be broken. As the Psalm 126 finds its fulfillment in Christ, the Apostle Paul refers to the Psalm when he, also Psalm 68, but also here, Psalm in Ephesians 4, verse 8, in connection with the ascension of Christ, the captivity. God has brought that captivity back, and the demons and all the Satan's allies have been destroyed. At least D-Day has been. So at times we may experience sadness, but we should look at the final outcome, the last verses, and so stay focused. Then we are able to cope. Psalm 126, verse 1 and 3, we'll sing. The bread which we break is communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Cup of blessing, for which we give thanks, is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. We'll read Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. From Psalm 125 and 26, we learned we should trust the Lord and stay focused. And Psalm 127 says now, that also means we should live our lives accordingly. Otherwise, all that we will do is in vain. In vain, that refers to the emptiness of the people that people in the world feel often. Despite all the wealth they have, often they feel empty. Yet when we live our lives for with the Lord, whatever we do in the Lord will never be empty, never in vain, as Paul says it in a wonderful chapter about the resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. So making everything instrumental to the service of the Lord, not living for yourself, not living for yourself in merits, not living for yourself in raising the children. That brings true happiness, something to live for him who's our Savior. Let's sing Psalm 127, the verses 1 and 2. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. We turn to Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Again, a psalm that speaks about the blessings of the Lord. Those who fear the Lord. That's not that we have to be scared of God, but that we stand in awe of him. These are the people who rejoice in the covenant relationship they have with the Lord. They will be blessed. Not first of all materially, but they will find peace even amid trouble, for the Lord is near. Then in faith you can cope with life. As Paul says in Philippians, that the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will fill your hearts and guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. These are the blessings God will give us from Zion. That's today in the church, where today we could feast on the abundance of this grace. Blessings in Christ for the strengthening of our faith. By the weekly preaching of the gospel, by the administration of the sacraments, how good is God. Let's now also thank him for his goodness. As you heard it in the form, not just in words, but also in deeds. Let's sing Psalm 128, the verses 1 and 3. This will be the last table for this morning. The bread, which we break, is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. At this table, we will read Psalm 133. At the Lord's table, we not only rejoice in the communion we have with Christ, but we also rejoice in the communion with one another, as the form speaks about it in such a wonderful way. And hence, we also want to read a psalm that speaks of it. Psalm 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Let us sing of that unity with Psalm 133, verses 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Beloved of the Lord, since the Lord has now nourished our souls at his table, let's together praise his holy name. Let everyone say in his heart, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always charge, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Therefore my heart and my mouth shall proclaim the praise of the Lord from now on and forevermore. Amen. Let's give thanks. Merciful God and Father, we thank thee that in thy boundless mercy thou hast given us thy only begotten Son as our mediator. We praise thee that he is the sacrifice for our sins and our food and drink to life eternal. We thank thee that thou givest us a true faith through which we may share in all these benefits. Through thy Son thou hast instituted the Holy Supper for the strength of our faith. We earnestly ask thee, faithful God and Father, that by thy Holy Spirit this celebration may lead to our daily increase in true faith and fellowship with Christ, thy beloved Son. In his name we pray. Amen. In conclusion, we will sing Psalm 134, verses 1 and 3. The Lord will bless us now with the following blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Amen.